I have two founders from Investor 8 on the show today. One of them is Pantea. She is a co-founder of the project, and she is a PhD student and very passionate about financial markets. And the other is Mashid, and she is working on the sales and marketing side of the project, and she has a deep passion for establishing relationships with potential customers and stakeholders. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice. Can you start off by just telling our audience a little bit about Investor 8? I know that you have this goal of providing valuable news and market insights using machine learning and artificial intelligence. But maybe just tell us a little bit about why you founded the company and what makes it different.
So actually, Investor 8 started in 2020 and almost with the beginning of the pandemic. Actually, all four co-founders, we've been trading and following stock market for many years. We have been regularly experiencing ups and downs of the market and losses. Even sometimes we lost, sometimes we gained. So around 2020, it was the time that we saw there is an opportunity in the market investment. And the reason was that because we found some challenges in the existing market research tools. We started to think, okay, there seems to be a gap in the market for research tools in the manner that because some of the existing ones are somehow inefficient, time-consuming. Sometimes they are, I would say, less reproducible than one might want. So we thought, okay, there is a gap to fill in. That's how the idea started. So all of us, we were sort of active in the market and experiencing this gap ourselves. So we looked around and we thought, okay, we have all the knowledge we need in-house. We have good data scientists, people with engineering and financing and banking background. We have people with project management and people management in-house. Why not doing something about it and turn an opportunity into something not only for us beneficial, but for everybody? Maybe other users can also benefit from it. So that's how the idea started to incubate itself. And we seem to have enough knowledge in-house. We started developing it. And at first it was, I'm going to be honest, like a hobby or side project. But by the time it got more and more serious, we were more and more drawn to do really something serious about it. And now it's a startup company with a really serious envision.
Wow. That's an awesome story. The best products are ones that you build for yourself. You're like, I want to use this. And then you're like, now other people can use it. The website is investor8.com. If you're following along at home and you want to check it out, that's the place to take a look. Can you talk a little bit more about like what specific gap you're feeling? Like there's all this news on the site. Is that the core feature, like being able to surface more important news than other platforms provide?
I think I'm going to let Pantel take this one. She is one of our technical leads.
So there is a different vision actually behind it. There are basically three things that we want to put together as a solution, or it's actually serving parts of our visions. The first thing is data-driven and also efficient research. That was where we struggled the most and where it started. So we wanted to minimize the hurdle of people when they want to surf the data. They want to find some information before they want to make their decisions. That was the first problem. So we want to make some sort of centralized app that is also customizable, where you can do your research and also reproduce your research, right? You want to be consistent. Right? You don't want to do something and then for the next stock do a completely random thing. We want reproducibility to be there. At the same time, we want people to be able to keep track of multiple metrics and also analysis that they made. We want them to create charts, visualizations, reports, and also be able to organize these reports and do it instantly on another financial asset or another thing, not to do all the things again from the start. So this was the data-driven part and also efficiency part. There is another part, which is, okay, so the application that we are developing, which is on top of the Investor 8 platform, which is IA Terminal, is Python-based and it's also open source. So I don't know if you also know, but Python is kind of a common language between engineers. Not only engineers, I mean, I would say even software traders or even quant traders, definitely data scientists know Python. So this gives them the opportunity to dive in, to read how we think we can one can analyze the market in one command. And they also can contribute their own ideas. With the open source community, people can actually communicate their ideas, their insights, how they want to ask the question, should I buy or should I not? And we would this would actually make the community grow. And also it gives us some insight on what they want us to do. So it would be a two-way street. We benefit from it. They benefit from it. That's the second thing. And the third thing, which we hope to contribute, is the AI and machine learning side. We want to be able to generate automated insights using AI. We want to have AI-powered personalized views, researches, the way that they tend to do their research, the way that they want to look at the market. We want to give them advanced and extensible screening of the market. So that's also the third aspect of it. Yeah.
Wow. So I prefer to work in Python, so I can definitely relate to building Python tools for developers. And I'm super interested to hear like your vision for this community. So the four of you that founded the company, you're all close. I think you're friends, right? Happen to have these like advanced PhDs and experts and people studying machine learning and things like this. But your goal is to grow that core group. And so that's why you kind of are focusing on an open source Python tool. Is your vision that you think there's a lot of other people in the same boat that you are? I'm one of them who's out there trying to build repeatable data-driven results, but kind of struggling because there aren't tools for a data scientist like me. Can you talk a little bit about how you envision that expanding? Like you talked about a two-way street. They're asking for features. You're building features. Like, where do you see this going? Is it going to just expand to a bigger community and everybody's writing code because it's open source? Or are you planning to bring more people into the team?
So it should go, I think
both, actually.
You know, the diversity is kind of the key here. I mean, one of the ideas behind this was that this investment community shouldn't be only the corporate investors. It should be also retail investors.
Yes.
And some happen to have data science background and some happen to have some other ideas how investment should go. So not only that we want to expand our own team, we also hope the community expands and also people find themselves each other and each other's ideas, insights. And actually at some point, we want to probably make strategies and implement some of the strategies and put them online, share our vision of how we think our application should be used and then see what other people say.
And to build up on Panteo's response, I also think one of the envisions of our tool is that, as you mentioned, some of these users, we don't want to focus on corporate users because they have more money, they have more accessibility, they have more, they have more available options, I would say. So we want to have a community with more inclusion. So we want to make it a very inclusive investment community. So everybody, even retailers, even people with, let's say, less money can make use of it and benefit from it to make informed decisions. You know, we want to bring people also together using this platform and this tool.
Yeah, there's so many big companies that provide tools for millionaires or people who work professionally in the industry. There's lots of APIs and tools for those folks, but I experienced this, and it sounds like your whole team had the same thing. Nobody's got a tool for me unless I go shell out many thousands of dollars. Is the best place for developers that are interested in your project this github.com/investor8-i8terminal? Is that like where you envision this community kind of coalescing, is right on GitHub?
Exactly. Yes, we hope that they start using our application there. They start going through the code, see what commands we envisioned, and probably contribute the commands that they think would be usable.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now on GitHub, like checking it out, and there's a lot of activity in here. Everybody's working hard. If I were to go use that tool to like, what's my experience going to be like as a developer or someone in Python? I'm working in a terminal. Is that the idea?
Yes. This is our first idea. We thought we are comfortable. We're not sure if everyone is comfortable, but it would be very simple and clean. Let's just give it a try. So you will have a terminal popping up. We have dedicated commands. It's not that complicated, so you won't be lost as into what command to put it in. But you can actually see with autocomplete what kinds of options you have. And you can start mixing commands, mixing matrices, generating plots, and yeah. But it starts, all of it starts from a terminal app.
Yeah.
Right. I can relate to that, where I can, there are terminals for investors where I'm using a GUI or a website, but I don't have any control or insight into the code behind that terminal. So it's almost impossible for me to adjust it to my investment style and my insights. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of like the core idea behind it? Is like, yeah, I want to work in, as a developer, I want to work in a GUI or a terminal at the end of the day, but I want to be able to have some input and adjust what's going on behind the scenes. Is that exactly what that allows your users to do?
Yes. You can actually at some point think of your own strategy or the mixture of metrics or analysis that you want to use to make decision. You can put that in code. You can take our code. It's available on GitHub. Implement it and just rerun the application and make use of it. It's as simple as that. And if you feel like it, you can share it with us. Tell us, hey, I think this is interesting.
Yes. I think you're on to the right approach, because this is how I want to work. And it, you know, I think your team wants to work this way. And,
there isn't, you know,
right. There isn't
any insurance. Thank you.
Yeah, it's definitely the right approach. Dive in a little bit more to the AI and ML portion. Where do you envision that going? Like, what data sources do you want to be using in your research, and how are you going to apply AI and machine learning to it?
So that is the very broad aspect. And I think there are many ideas. Coming from PhD backgrounds, you can actually go from conference to conference and then hear all about NLP, hear all about different ways that people are deriving information from mass of data. There are many opportunities there, we think. Not sure how it would be used. So we wanted to probably pre-process the reports, see if we can use NLP to extract information, visualize it instantly without people needing to go through all gigantic amounts of text and make decisions themselves. So there will be an NLP side that would let them to process all of these reports and show all the results instantly, visualization of these results. There would be also another aspect on when it comes to making a strategy and investments. There would be AI-powered indicators, AI-powered metrics that could help you do that. Yeah, so it goes both ways. So one side would be using... another thing. This is, I haven't mentioned this. Another thing would be using the application itself. That could be also more smooth when you actually let AI tell you what your patterns are, what are the most interesting things, what did you mean by this. Mm-hmm. That can be also powered by AI. So it's one side, the usability of the product itself. Another side would be the analytics that can be added, both from the reports and also just the metrics that are driven from the price data and other metrics that are already available.
Right. It's a complicated big topic, but I think it ties in really closely with your vision. You're trying to influence the research that's done before the investment is made. And it's almost, that kind of research is really hard without AI assistance. Do you envision it being like an interplay between the AI where it's supporting the research that's done before the decision is made? Or are you thinking to fully automate the investment at some point where a lot of the investment is just driven by code or is it a little a combination of both?
So we think I think I'm gonna just give you my part of the answer, and Panta can fill in as well. I think for the AI part, you're still we're taking baby steps in that third aspect of Investor Aid. I think this is one of the envisions we want to empower Investor Aid with AI and using machine learning algorithms and making it more customizable and more personalized research method for users, as we spoke. But I think that's the part we still have to do a lot more. We still have to grow on that aspect still. So maybe from my side, I'm not yet completely sure how to develop on that end of the story, but I will let Panta, she's the more expert in that. I think that's the part that needs to grow still a little bit further. Sorry.
Of course. Yeah. I think it would be more of an assistance. We all know it's a challenge when it comes to applying AI to make your strategies and investment decisions. That's a challenge, right? That's not figured out completely. But we know, we already know that you can use AI to ease your research. That's completely another method, because then you don't have to worry on how it makes its decisions when it comes to decision making. You want to generate insight that aids you make your decision. So you don't want to do the decision making very qualitatively. It seems like comparatively only.
Yeah,
you want to assign numbers. That's,
quantify it.
You want to make it quantified. And I think this is our research background talking, because we want to talk in numbers. We want to be able to compare very precisely what happened here and there. And I think that would be powered by AI. It will help your research. It won't make decisions for you, but at least you know precisely why you made this decision.
Right. Yeah. I think that is definitely the goal, to take the emotion out of it and be able to apply a consistent strategy that's aided by technology, but isn't fully automated. Maybe someday, but not yet. Talk a little bit about the platform now. It's in beta mode. Are you looking for testers, collaborators? Do you plan to commercialize it somehow? Where are you now, and where do you want to be in 6 to 12 months?
Well, the short answer is yes, of course. We definitely want to grow. We are building up, I would say, different business models and different strategies. We definitely want to grow. We want to not only expand, but we also want to commercialize. Let's use that word. It's the right word to use. We do want to commercialize, and we are looking into different opportunities at this moment. And as I mentioned, the AI is one of the parts that it still has to grow and mature even more than it is now. We are thinking about lots of features, lots of different aspects. But indeed, it's the stage that we really need user feedback. It's the stage that we are in using, or I would say taking advantage of the open source community. We're hoping to get to the users' minds. What do they need? What is it that they are more enthusiastic about? What is it that they can inspire us? You know, they can give us inspiration. They can give us hints. You know, even if someone is not implementing something correctly, this is something that I actually today learned from Pantera technically, that they can even give us hints, inspiration. So that's what we really need at this moment. And of course, next steps, as I mentioned, is to grow the business side of it.
Yeah, we're looking for every opportunity to get in touch with our users. Definitely, we have a backlog that is overflowing, but of course. What is our next step? Which feature should be next? That one the user tell us, and we want to see how they're experiencing this app, and get the feedback, and hopefully implement that to make them more happy, and probably make ourselves more happy with using this app.
Yeah,
it's for everyone. It's not a one way street. I really want to emphasize that it's for everyone.
Exactly.
When someone's going in and testing the i8 terminal, like how do you get the feedback from them? Like, what's your mechanism for collecting that from those developers?
The first thing is that they hopefully sign up. And for the newcomers, we have decided that we will, for a limited time, just give them access to the full premium package. And also, as they get started using this, we would send them a survey asking them about their experience. And if they felt like it, we would set up a chat and then we would have a call. That's for people who really get involved and, make use of the iTerminal application so they do have an idea. But otherwise, it would be a free premium for a short while for them.
I think that's a great strategy to kind of narrow in on exactly what the most desirable features are and have the greatest user experience before you start charging for it. I think that is a really great strategy. What does that backlog look like? I think I'm super curious to know, what are you building first and how are you prioritizing that?
So of course we started from the most essential commands, the things that people are already using, checking the metrics, checking some of the plots. But from time to time, there are ideas popping up in our head. There are kind of paradigm shifts, actually, big ideas, big concepts that pop into our head, and we are just putting it there. So putting this analysis together and forming a package and so on and so on. So that backlog is filled with all different levels, basic levels, ideas popping into our head, and also sometimes the needs of people that we hear from. So there are some people, sometimes users, other investor friends that, we see their ideas. It would have been nice that if I had this feature or that feature. And that also goes into our backlog and implementation.
To be honest, our technical team, I'm hearing every day that they have lots of ideas. I honestly say there are many features to do. But what we want to do is we want to really, as you mentioned, narrow it down to what is the actual precise need out there, because we can spend time on developing all sorts of features. Maybe they are too luxury, or they are not that much beneficial at the end. So we really want to focus on what is missing, what is needed, and what is it that the users really want. That's how we want to approach it before starting to build up additional features.
Right. Otherwise, you drown. It's always going to be, no matter how big your company is, you're always going to have more backlog than their dev team can handle.
No, yeah, that's right.
Why do you think this group, this idea of having kind of Python-driven, AI-driven, data-driven terminal, but also with open source backend, why has this not been built before? Why aren't people developing for this end user? Why are they so focused on the professional investor or, hedge funds and maybe retail investors who have no data science background at all? Why has everything been built for them and nothing been focused on this community? Is it just the idea that they can take care of themselves?
Good question.
Yeah, maybe the people who started doing this weren't all engineers. Maybe they didn't look at themselves. They were looking at the target, and the target is where the money is, where the corporate is, and what their need is. I mean, it's not that odd of an association, right? It's made mainly for the hedge funds, mainly for people who want to make investment decisions. Maybe it didn't occur that also there are other retail investors. To be honest, there was the flood of retail investors after the COVID pandemic.
Exactly.
So that could also be the reason that got us to do this.
Yeah.
That you cannot blame others, probably. I mean, there was this flood, and we were also getting more and more involved. Yeah, previously, we did trade, but very passively. And with this, we were thinking, we also were working from home, right? And when you're working from home, you have these different monitors that are open, and there is just one monitor that has the market open. we said that there are more people. There were definitely more people than before who were getting involved that were like us. I would say there is also a bit of a change in the audience.
And there is an increase in the number of, retail traders, maybe starting from the pandemic time.
Okay. Do you think those traders are heading in the direction of being more technical? They maybe didn't start out being Python users, but they naturally, as they learn more about investing and get more into it, they're like, you know what would be nice is if I could automate this or if I could do that. And then naturally they start to realize, well, if I want to invest my way, I have to become technical. You think that's a trend that is
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it's a constant feedback loop with your money. So yeah, you're getting feedback. There are times that you have the bull market and no matter what you invest in, with closed eyes, you can make profit, but right. That doesn't last forever. And you come to the realization that, oh, I have to make my decisions based on some information, yeah. Some sort of research, and I have to have it systematic. And I think as the time passes, people come to this realization. This is something that, it's not new, it has been there. People were making money with this, but in corporate form, hedge funds. And now the retails who got involved and, well, experienced the nice bull market, now getting to bear market, they slowly pick up on this idea that, okay, this has to be, there has to be a more systematic and clean way of investing.
Interesting. Yeah, I've talked to a lot of app builders that are just building for retail, but I don't think anybody's working on a project for retail who's getting more technical, or folks who start technical and then start investing. I think you're onto something, and I'm really excited about it because I need it. I'm so sick of going into like a brokerage account and having limited options. You know, as a developer, you're like, I can build it however I want. That's the beauty of being a developer. Do you get that feedback from your users that they're kind of like, yeah, this is what I needed. I needed something that was going to allow me to make data-driven choices, you know, do it repeatably and influence it with AI and be able to execute it in a terminal that I have some input in. Are people kind of saying, yep, this is what I was looking for as you get the feedback from them?
I think so far, yes. We are, as I mentioned, we are at the stage that we are collecting as much feedback as possible. But so far, the trend seems promising that this is what the users actually need. Yeah. Seems to me.
What we see is that they enjoy this freedom of thinking on their own. And at the same time, this community grows. We have encountered other engineers and who tend to go through the same process of data-driven decision-making. So from those, we have gotten a very good feedback already, but we're still collecting it.
Yeah.
And at some point, I think they will start enjoying sharing their insights, sharing how their individual strategies, because let's be honest, there is a wisdom in the crowd that is not in the individuals, and they're going to benefit from it.
Yeah. I think some crowds are more wise than other crowds, and probably the PhD group of computer scientists that are getting into finance, if you can get that crowd together, you're going to actually be better off. But like, I think until now, those types of folks have been isolated at hedge funds. Like, there's probably most hedge funds or really big firms have like 5 or 10 data scientists who are extremely qualified. And they're really insulated and keeping that knowledge locked away from the broader community of developers and investors. I think that you've got the right idea to take that group and make it more open source and more available to the broader community. What made you switch from being a hobby? You know, like you could have gone the insulation route and be like, hey, there's 4 of us. Maybe we'll go get 8 or 10, but keep it to ourselves and do your own investing and just make money that way. What made you decide that you wanted to share it, that you wanted to build a bigger community and make it into a full-time project rather than a hobby?
I think different parameters played a role. I would say one of the big reasons, one of the most important reasons, is that we felt the need more and more. The more we went on with the project, the more we felt it's a great opportunity. It's a great thing to be commercialized. It's a great thing to make into, instead of just a side project, to a real project that not only pays off, but also people can benefit as in commercial setting. We can build up a business on it. So I think it started as a hobby for ourselves, but you know, it's like you start something you don't, at first, at the beginning, you don't think, let's be honest, at first you don't think it's as great as one might think, but the more you go on with it, you think, oh, this is really turning to be something great. So I think that's one of the most important reasons that by the time it further developed, we saw more and more possibilities and more options. And as I mentioned, we thought, at least that's my, that's how I see it. We have a really great, first of all, we're friends. Some of us are even family, Babak and Afshin, they're brothers. So the four of us, we have really good, tight relationships. And this could really turn into something that can turn around our lives. Why not? And that's how I see it, at least. And I don't know, maybe Pantel can add.
There's also another thing. You also asked why didn't we choose it to, well, invest ourselves and keep it to ourselves. But, you know, that's one way to look at it. But as soon as you make it open and everyone has access, I personally put lots of value in everyone's insights. I mean, people have different perspectives. And I think everyone, all of us can benefit from those different perspectives put together, put into strategies. Not
value
just
diversity, actually.
Yeah. So keeping it to ourselves, yes, maybe we have just some perspectives, some ideas. And sure, maybe we could make money. But as soon as you open it, there is a different scale of opportunities for everyone. And we also would benefit from that because we would see how other people are making decisions. I mean, that would also be a benefit for us.
Wow. What an amazing idea that you'd open it up, get more diversity of input, get better returns. So like by being less selfish, you actually have a chance to make more money. I think it's
that's a very not selfish, but selfish reason.
Yeah, it's beautiful. That's one, you know, you can be in it to make money, but also to help others at the same time, and everybody benefits. That's a great vision. I think you're definitely onto the right idea. The website, if you want to check it out, investor8eight.com, and on GitHub, you're looking for investor8/i8-terminal. You can find it there. You can contribute and take part of it. Thank you so much, Masjid and Pantea, for sharing your vision. It's awesome. I can't wait to see where you take it.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you so much. And I actually appreciate your feedback so far. I mean, this has been great hearing your also positive feedback. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.